Hello? What is a podcast? I don't know what that is.
Hello and welcome to the very first podcast of Two Old Dolphins. My name is Scott Quiggle and with me is...
Alex Sines.
Alex and I have been talking about the Dolphins for a good 25 years and often threatened each other with, hey, we should do a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that perhaps one day we thought we could buy a radio station.
Actually, the dream is to actually buy the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's a better dream.
That's the better dream.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been a sort of, I don't know, I guess you could call it a goal, a fantasy, whatever you want to call it. And we've been always thinking of doing something like this. And it's really fun that we can get together and talk about the team that we both love.
That's the Miami Dolphins. And that's what this podcast is about.
Amen.
So the very first podcast is about us just telling some stories so that you can get to know us, who we are, how long we've been Dolphin fans, all that sort of stuff. It's not directly tied to dates or specific games or what's going on right now in 2018. But we thought we'd just reach back and tell you some fun stories and two old guys reliving some of the experiences that we've had about the Miami Dolphins. So the first thing I want to just get out of the way, Alex, is
the frog that's in your throat right now.
Yeah, it's a great way to start.
Okay.
Two Old Dolphins is TWOOLDDOLFANS, and we have a website that is the primary host for our podcast. But we can be found in all kinds of places these days. We're on Google Play. We're on iTunes. We're in the Blueberry Podcast Network. And we're on Spotify. So that provides you with plenty of options. But you can always just go to our website and stream a podcast from there. On the website, we'll have a little write-up to go along with and maybe some pictures to go along with the podcast. So we're also easily found with the same name on several of the social media things. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we're on Instagram. So please give us a follow. It's a great way to ask us questions or, you know, tell us how awesome we are. Possibly the reverse.
No. No, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Let's not start out with haters.
Hey, Scott, is it too late to change our name to, like, Two Great Dolphins, or are we stuck with the old? I'm feeling old every time you say that.
Yeah, well, it's the sense of humor about ourselves.
Okay.
Right, and there's going to be plenty of times where we're struggling for names and details and stuff because our Dolphinship goes all the way back to the beginning, and we are, in fact, old, so.
Well, okay. Can we talk? So we should start a little bit about how we became Dolphin fans.
Yeah, we could do that. Okay, let's start with that.
Okay. I became a Dolphin fan. I was literally raised in the city of Miami. I was born in Havana, and we left when I was 9 months old. So my whole life I was a Miamian. And I remember watching the commercials of showing Paul Warfield catching this acrobatic catch, and they say, come see the young, exciting Dolphins who are playoff bound. Miami at the time had zero teams. There was no Miami Heat. There was no Miami Marlins. Just Miami. The Hurricanes were...
irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant. So really, it was all about the Dolphins. And I became a huge Dolphin fan from day one and was able to go at the Orange Bowl, my first game ever, was the game that that Greasy got hurt in 1972.
Against
the Chargers, of all people. And we're going to talk a lot about that because we both live in San Diego now, and there's a lot of connection between San Diego and the Chargers and the Dolphins, and it's just all, it's incredible how we met here in San Diego.
Right. For a non-division team, we have an awful lot of history and memories.
Yeah, and a few years later, actually, I attended the game where the Dolphins and the Chargers played the what many say is the greatest game ever, down the Orange Bowl, and the triple overtime game. And what's the triple or double? Now, there you go, old Dolphins right there. I don't remember. I was there.
Starting out strong.
I was starting out strong with it. But it was a long, long game. And we...
But what made you a Dolphins fan? Was it a specific game?
It was not.
It was just the whole atmosphere of Miami
being,
at the time?
Being in Miami, being that was our only team. And I remember like it was yesterday when we played the Super Bowl and we lost against Dallas. Going to the airport and actually greeting the Dolphins and watching Chula tell the crowd that next year we're going to go back to the Super Bowl and we're going to win the Super Bowl. And I was just in love with it. I was they were my team. They were they would interact with us. I had the pleasure of meeting so many of the Dolphins that would go to my school, that, you know, Bob Greasy, Tim Foley, Kuschenberg, Manny Fernandez. We just met them all. We were able. They were part of the community. It was really a great, exciting time to be in Miami as we went to three straight Super Bowls and should have won, you know, at least three Super Bowls, not counting the Dallas one. I think the year in 74, we were the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, so we were just...
Yeah, very unlucky.
Very unlucky. And
it's those damn Raiders.
Yeah, which is funny enough... In our segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the Dolphin facts. We're going to talk a little bit about the Raiders, actually, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll have a regular setup to our podcast where we talk about games, players, you know, cuts, free agent moves, draft picks, you know, definitely some game analysis because we both know football pretty well. Mm-hmm. We'll be tying a lot of the things that we see to history. We certainly, you know, pine on a regular basis for Mr. Don Shula. But
I was referring, Scott, to the Dolphin facts, where I get my little time to share some of my information that I find it to be interesting and relevant about.
Yeah, these
the
are conversations I've been having with you since I've known you. I'll be driving to work and not holding my cell phone in my hand. Right.
Exactly.
And you'll be like, "Hey, Scott, did you know?" You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I know, and sometimes I don't. You can dig some stuff up. So we thought we'd, you know, do that fairly regularly, and at some point during this podcast today, we'll give them a shot.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. So people have asked me, "Hey, aren't you from New York originally? What makes you a Dolphins fan?" I've been hearing that pretty much my whole life, especially when I was a young adult still living in New York. I'm from Central New York, called the Southern Tier. It's the Finger Lakes region, which is like dead between, you know, where all the New York teams are or would be. Buffalo's 2.5 hours in one direction, and New York City is about 5 hours in the other direction. So, you know, technically, should I be a Buffalo fan? Should I be a Jets fan or a Giants fan? Yeah.
Giants is the only one that would be acceptable.
Yeah, well.
Somewhat.
We don't have much of a history with the Giants. I don't think we've played them very many times.
I can't even remember.
Yeah, anyways, I had a ready answer, right? I was like, well, I was 5 years old in 1972. Those were my impression years. That was my off-the-cuff answer. But even, you know, over the years, I probably became to believe that answer myself. But there was a period of time where I believe after I'd either moved to college, here's my old age memory, just moved out to San Diego, where I'd gone back to visit, and mom had an old shoebox of pictures out, and we were kind of going through them, and... In 1972, there had been a flood caused by Hurricane Agnes that really flooded the whole valley that our house was in, and the water had come, you know, flooded the entire basement and come 3-4 feet up into the living room, that sort of thing, and just, you know, destroyed basically everything that was left at that level. But before we had evacuated, Mom had shoved pictures and papers and stuff like that up into our attic, and they'd been there a long time, and so she got them down, and we were kind of looking over them. There I was in the pictures, like 2.5, 3 years old, with a dolphin's rain jacket, a dolphin's ski cap, all that sort of thing. So we had the conversation. I'm like, you know, honestly, I don't remember when I became a Dolphins fan. She said, well, I think it had something to do with your best friend, Lonnie Gillen, who was also a Dolphins fan, and he might have got it from his uncle. So it's a little bit still of a mystery, but, you know, the Dolphins were great in those days, and they were a new team, and I was, you know, even as a kid, obsessed with having Dolphins clothing. So there's that. It's not a real definitive answer, but I've always been a Dolphins fan. I bleed aqua and orange. I thought it would be interesting to talk about when we met, how we met, how we became fairly fast friends. The year was 1994. I had just moved to San Diego from upstate New York.
And I had moved from San Diego from L.A. Because from Miami, I grew up in Miami, and in the early 80s, when I had my daytime job, which was being a stockbroker back then, I had my Series 7, 63, all those good things, and then went to Los Angeles and settled in L.A. for a few years, got married to my wife, who we're still married 29 years this year, and when our daughter was born, it was my second child, we decided to move to a more, you know, quiet town. And San Diego is a gorgeous town. It's a, you know, like Pete Wilson kind of coined it, the America's finest city. And we fell in love with San Diego, came down here. But back then, DirecTV still did not exist.
Right.
And so you had to go to a sports bar. And I went to Trophies to watch the Dolphins play, I believe, Oakland, right?
That's right.
And there we were, and somehow I came up to you and said hi, because I think you were one of the few Dolphin fans in there.
Yeah, I was very loud, too.
Yeah, and you were animated. Mm-hmm. And me, I was bringing up my Miami passion, Cuban passion down there, and I was also very animated. And we said, well, at least we should talk, since we're the only two guys that are a little nutty out there, the super Dolphin fans. And that was the strike of the relationship and the friendship. And later on, we went to see them play the Chargers live.
Yeah. So for me, that whole memory starts with my absolute desire to, you know, I must see the Dolphins. And now I'm in San Diego, and I don't know how this is going to happen other than, you know, going to a sports bar. And so, I mean, literally fresh off the Ryder truck from moving out here. I have a very distinct memory of La Mirage and its community center area where the office was, and the gym was in there, and there was this workout area there, and we were getting our keys and all that sort of stuff, and it was like I think we arrived on a Friday night, or must have been, or Saturday, that type of, you know, all I could think about was, how do I get to watch my Dolphins? So my wife at the time and I were sitting, you know, in a very nice lobby with a fireplace, and waiting on our agent to come out with the keys and the paperwork, and in marches the Charger girls, the workout area that they practiced at this place that I lived in, this dance studio workout room that had all glass walls and was completely visible to the area that we were sitting. And I sat there, and they stripped down to their workout clothes, and I'm sure my face was turning red and my eyes were popping out of my head, and I could just feel the stare from my wife. And so, knowing myself, I had to pick up a USA Today and like physically hold it in front of my face to keep from looking up, because my wife was just giving me that stare down. And eventually she came out, and the first question I asked the thing was, "Hey, where can I?" The agent was, "Where can I watch my Dolphins?" She goes, "Well, there's a sports bar at Hazard Center just down the street called Trophies. I don't know about the Dolphins, but you know, I think they show most of the games there." And so. So there I headed that next day, and that's where we met.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of fun. Those days were great, because we used to go And we would find two or three bars that always end up watching the Dolphins. One in Poway, which is a suburb where I live, in San Diego. And, you know, trophies, we would go back there. It was just, it was a lot of fun.
We tried a couple places in Pacific Beach.
Yeah, we tried everything. Yep. And it was a lot of fun. It was great to get, you know, we're lucky enough to have a friendship that's lasted a lifetime and got to see a lot of Dolphin games together.
Yep. Some real fun memories there. We'll great share memories. Some of them. Mm-hmm. The ones that we can remember.
Yeah.
So, do you remember what our first game together was? I think it was that year.
It was the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, 1994, we still had Don Shula as our coach, still had Dan Marino as our quarterback. It was a team that I was excited about. I certainly believed in this team, though, you know, I don't remember what the record was, but the week before we had played the Chiefs, gave them a little bit of a beat down, and so...
With Joe Montana.
That's right. That's right. Bit of a revenge game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was great. I remember in that game that Marino was in a zone.
Mm-hmm.
He was just in a zone, and it looked like we were going to pull it off, and unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. And that's the game where I believe Shula blew a gasket there when at halftime they didn't have any power in the Dolphin locker room.
Yeah, that's right.
And
we sat there in the stands for a very long time going, what the hell's going on? We didn't know.
We came out and had that. Yeah. They had that stand against us and we punted. Mm-hmm. They got the ball short. It was just that was downhill from there. But see,
that was a tale of two halves because we were just kicking their ass in the first half.
Yeah, Marino owning them. He was in a zone.
Yep.
Totally in a zone, yes.
Yeah, and the defense was shutting them down, and, you know, they weren't really, did they score 3 points or something? But the first that weird halftime, and then not too far after the halftime, Bernie Parmalee got stuffed for a safety. And even though that was just 2 points, right there,
it changed the whole momentum.
It did. It changed the momentum of the game.
I mean, the amazing thing is, like I said, we've had a long history between us and the Chargers, and I've witnessed, a bunch of these games. Being able to see, you know, that game when Greasy went down, that we all thought that, like I touched upon earlier, that our whole season was gone. Errol Morrow comes in. We know the history. We won the whole thing. It was great, undefeated. Which, by the way, on the undefeated aspect, Scott, I get sick and tired of people saying that some team is going to beat the Dolphin record. How the hell do you beat perfection? I'm just, you know, we're talking about old Dolphins. We got one thing that no one can take from us and no one can ever duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
We were perfect.
Yep.
Somebody can be perfect like us,
right,
but they can't be more perfect than us.
Yeah, I think the argument will be, well, now there's more games, and so they won more games.
And there's more teams, and there's more this.
Yeah.
You can make any argument you want, and in my book, perfection cannot be beaten.
That is correct.
So that's the end of that argument. Now, as far as...
We can't argue about that when we're both on the same side.
Well, I mean, just for all the other people out there, the haters that consistently don't appreciate... What these Dolphins did. I mean, 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many teams have had a chance to do it.
Since then. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and no one's
done. We were worried about the Bears 1 year, and we stopped them.
And then Eli Manning,
mm-hmm,
the Brady killer. I mean, it's just great. It's great that the Dolphins have done that. It's great that we have kept that tradition. And again, I just to make it very clear, it'll never be beaten. It can only be matched. Now, as far as the Chargers and the Dolphins and all that's concerned, you know, again, we saw tremendous games that we've played against this team, and you and I have personally witnessed a few of them.
Yeah, well, as we were talking about that heartbreaker in the playoffs, I think the Chargers went on to the Super Bowl that year, right?
Yeah, and they got spanked by San Francisco.
The 49ers.
Another place that we had our journey go
but
to.
But even in that game, even it came down to like a one-point game or something like that. It was a one-point game. The final score was 22-21, but Marino caught fire you know, right, and that's whole second half, Natron Means was running all over us. I remember Jeff Cross laying on the field completely exhausted at one point, like couldn't get up.
Same thing that I remember back in 82, I believe, or 81, when we played them in Miami, and it was the Winslow was literally being carried off the field, and the Dolphins Blackwood, all the guys were just, you know, exhausted. It was such a long, we've had some battles against San Diego.
We have.
I mean, for teams that don't play each other that often, it's amazing the history and us.
Some really memorable games.
Yeah. And now, you know, I mean, we've got to just hit on it that even though this is like, you know, the Dolphin podcast here, both you and I are not happy that the Chargers are no longer here. And we always like to put it out there that, you know, our support was, I even did we collected, I think 5,000 signatures,
mm-hmm.
To keep the at least a Charger name here. Because how would we feel the Dolphins ever went to, you know, New York? I mean, that's how they feel. This is
their
rivalry.
It was a terrible time, greedy ownership, you know, it's just horrible here. So we feel really bad for the Chargers fans we know.
We're good people.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're good fans.
We miss having the NFL in this city.
Yeah, we can't. Now we have to do what we did a couple of years ago, travel up to L.A. to see the Dolphins.
Right. Let's hang on to that one. If we're going in chronological order, you know, today, we'll get to that game eventually.
I mean, I like to just jump around, so let's go.
Okay. So just to cap off that our first game together against the Chargers, that you know, real heartbreaker. The real that it went down right to the last moment. I don't know if you're listening and you remember what happened, but Marino caught fire at the, you know, with just a minute left, he got the ball, or a minute 20, something like that, and drove right down the field, and then they stopped us around the 30-yard line. Mm. And Stoyo, who'd been, you know, a game winner for us many times, a pretty consistent kicker, Pete Stojanovic, lined up. And we were, I don't want to say holding hands because that doesn't sound right, but we were giving him as much mental positive energy as we could. Let's put it that way. And he missed. So, and that was the game.
Yeah. Now I'm really depressed. Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough one. That was we walked out of there feeling like hell and moving on.
Yeah. So we've been to many Chargers Dolphins games, you know, here, probably every single one, you know, that came here, with an exception here or there for whatever reason. And many of them, I don't know, sort of run together for me. Nothing really stands out except for the preseason, which is kind of funny because who values preseason? I mean, you know, it's that period of time where everyone's excited that football's back, and then after one preseason game, you're like, no, I don't want to see this anymore. Can the regular season please
start?
My
favorite statistic on that is I've always told you that we lost every single game in 72,
mm-hmm.
and went undefeated, and we won every single game in that incredible 1-15 year, and obviously almost lost every single
game.
Cam Cameron's 1 year of... Well, you know, because that was interesting because we should share that story, Scott, because it was when we hired Cameron, again, the San Diego connection. He was the offensive coordinator in San Diego.
Yep.
And I turn around and I'm in a...
But neither of us really had a feel for him until...
I don't know if I should drop the name altogether, but what the hell, I will, because it's all true. I'm in a bachelor party and I'm with the center... or the long snapper for the Chargers, which is Dave Binn. He was the player who's played the most years in the history of the Chargers, the most seasons. And I'm all excited, and him and I are both the best men at this wedding. So we spent a lot of time together, and I asked him, Dave, let me ask you, what do you think about Cameron? I think it's a great hire. I'm so excited. I think it's an offensive-minded coach. I was thinking like bringing back the Marino-type magic.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he started laughing. And he says, oh, God, he's a good coordinator, but we know nobody respects him as a head coach. And I thought he was, you know,
Messing with you.
Yeah, messing with me. I was like, I started laughing and go, okay, what do you really think? He goes, yeah. I'm telling you.
Knowing you, you mess with people. People like to mess with you.
Yeah, I love to mess with people. And I was like, come on, let's straight shoot. Tell me the facts here. He's like, nope. No, they honestly, he sucks. And I go, really? I go, we don't respect him. He's a great coordinator, not a head coach. Well, immediately I get on my phone, call you.
Yeah.
And I said, Scott, I don't know what to make of this.
Told me the story. I was very high about coaching change until we heard that. And then
and
it's like a punch in the gut.
And it was like, this guy's a prophet. I mean, it was everything he told me happened to the T. We had a mutiny that year.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost had a beautiful, perfect season the other way. We were losing every single game. It really amazed me that, again, it goes back to the connection San Diego-Miami. There's so many
Camarillo situations. Caught that Cleo Lemon pass that was a...
And beat the Ravens, the one team that... That seems to beat us. They just show up and we lose the game.
Yeah, we give up.
Yeah, just like last year we gave up on national television and we were watching the game at a bar for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And what a disaster that was. So, yeah, it's very interesting... how that unfolded.
So another one, one of the things I was leading into was preseason, right? So there was a week that the Dolphins came out here for the entire week in preseason. So they not only played a preseason game against the Chargers, but they spent the week out here practicing against the Chargers.
Yeah, and I was excited because I wanted to see Cecil Collins.
Mm-hmm. He was our rookie running back draft pick.
Yep, and a fifth round, right?
Something like that, fourth or fifth.
Yeah, and I really thought he was going to be a great back. And I was dying to see him and just to see, you know, what he was doing in practice. So you and I went to the practices.
Yep, we went to most of the practices that week, the open practices.
You played hooky that whole week.
I took the week off from work.
You were calling you sick every day.
Yeah, I worked at the Lightspan Partnership, and it was right around my birthday. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take the week off.
The supervisor, if I ever hear this, he goes, I knew he wasn't sick.
Yeah, I was not calling in sick.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Alex doesn't mess with people at all. So, yeah. I mean, Dan Marino was still the quarterback of the team at the time, and, Cecil Collins was that rookie that we thought might have something special to him. And we had the opportunity to go watch them at UCSD. So there was two layers of fields there. There's an upper layer that the Chargers were on, and they had stands where the fans could sit and all that sort of stuff. And on the lower field was where the Dolphins were practicing. And they didn't really... I don't remember them practicing actually a lot against each other, even though they were both in the same place.
They weren't scrimmaging that much. Right. No,
there's a little bit here and there, mm-hmm. But yeah. So they had like one of those makeshift construction fences, the orange plastic ones set up, and all of us Dolphins fans that, you know, went there, stood on the outside of that, and it was very close to the players. And so we got to see up close and personal that practice that week. A lot of Damon Huard, who was the backup, running the practices, because, I don't know, Dan had a dinged up shoulder or arm or something. But
yeah, he had in a little sling when he was walking off the practice field.
Yeah, but then he would get in there and throw a few passes just to warm up. He'd be warm up on the side, and then he'd run the offense a little bit, and then for the rest of the day,
need any stinking preseason.
Yeah. So a couple of interesting things happened that week. One is... I had my first television interview, right? So NBC...
the first. You've had several?
First and only, I guess.
Okay.
NBC was doing some interviews, and they interviewed a couple of players that were kind of off.
Could you imagine, Scott, if your supervisor would have seen the interview? That would have been funny. Anyway,
I took the week off, so...
Yeah, I know.
They knew.
That's the story. That's the party story. Okay. That's the party line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll stick to it. Let's go. I got your back.
So, yeah. Then they walked over to the fans, and I saw the guy, maybe 10 guys down, interview some guy, and I don't think it went very well because he wanted to reset, and then he came over and just picked me. And, you know, kind of set me up with a general question, and I was ready to go. I gave him like a minute or a minute and a half just diatribe about how awesome it is to be able to come out here and see, you know, Dan in his last year or two, and Jimmy Johnson, you know, as a new coach, and the things he's doing with the team that he's building, you know, strong defense and, you know, some new running backs, J.J. Johnson and Cecil Collins and, you know, John Avery, I guess, in his second year. I don't think we saw much of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He might have, like, been resting or something that week, too. But the guy finished. I finished my little diatribe, and the guy stepped back and said, gave me a compliment that I've just always remembered, and that was, he said, well, you nailed it. I mean, that doesn't happen usually. He goes, are you in the business? And I said, nope, but I have a command voice that when I really want to be loud, I can and be loud and people notice it. So I yelled out Drew Rosenhaus's name because I recognized him and he looked startled for a moment and then sort of gave a half wave. And, I want to say that was the year that Tim Bowens was holding out. This is a memory thing, so I'm not 100% sure. So I wasn't altogether happy.
Did you tell
him.
Drew, show me the money?
Yeah.
You know, he claims that movie was made about him.
I remember the claim. I saw the movie, though I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan. I guess I don't know enough about Drew to say that it was or it wasn't. But I swear at the time he represented half the Dolphins really seemed like a conflict of interest to me. So I sort of had a bit of respect for him, for being as good at...
He's a great agent.
And as a fan, a bit of hatred for him
He's a UMer, so I cannot say anything bad about him.
But certainly a guy that was at the top of his game, you know, even had a wife that was pretty incredible.
There you go. I mean, I didn't know about the wife issue, but yeah, that's good for him.
Yeah.
It's a UMer. It can't do wrong. So then what happened that ruined your interview, which I kind of remember this very well. So
this is a pretty famous event. Actually happened on August 20th, 1999, and it was pretty easy to find. And the funny part about finding the details of about what happened was that there's still news articles from across the nation about what happened at that practice that day. So there's a fan. His name was Sean Peck.
Oh, geez, you got the guy's name?
I got the guy's name. That sat up in the stands and just hassled Ryan Leaf. Heckling him the whole practice.
Well, yeah.
To the point where he was like sitting up there singing Lonesome Loser to Ryan Leaf as loud as he could.
Serenading him.
Yes.
That's nice.
And Leaf went berserk. Like to the point where he was going to run up in the stands and kick his ass or something. And the news...
It would be funny if the guy kicked his ass. That would have been hysterical.
It would have been, but I kind of doubt that would happen.
I don't know, man. But,
so needless to say, NBC was there and they got all of that. And
there goes your interview.
When I went home, I sure as hell wasn't on TV, even though that guy said, this is going to make the news, you know, because my... You know, little response was good enough to make the news. He's like, this will be on around 6 o'clock or something. And yeah. And so the whole time it was that bit of news that went national.
It was Ryan Leaf trying to fight some fan. That's always a good idea.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So we've had a lot of fun and watching the preseason. Also, in those years, I used to go to Miami and I used to own a home down in Miramar in mm-hmm. South Florida. And I would go see the Dolphins practice, and I would call you with reports.
Yeah, I always wanted to go. How come you never invited me?
I don't know. I think I think I did. You never went.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
I used to spend too much. I used to go like for a month down there, 2 months at a time.
I probably wasn't getting paid enough at that job that I was taking the week off from.
Lighthouse or something? What was that thing?
The Lightspan partnership.
Lightspan. Okay, yeah. I got the light right.
No longer around.
Well, so your supervisor doesn't matter if he listens to this or not. So it's okay. Now, I would go down there and I remember watching a couple of practices that were incredible. And we were, I would see this kid running around, the young guy, and Jack Del Rio, we had signed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was supposed to be our starting middle linebacker.
That's right.
And I called you up. I go, look, Del Rio looks old and slow, but this kid, Zach Thomas, is unreal. He's just a monster. He's all over the field. He's a little guy. Doesn't look like an athlete, but outplays everybody. And
he looks like a little rectangle.
Yeah.
And he was square everywhere.
A little square, little like...
Barney Rubble.
Yeah, I mean, I think he looked more like Flintstone. But yeah, he was a little guy. And long of it, short of it is, you know, we all know what he became. And Del Rio never made it to the season. He retired because he realized that he was old and slow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've had a lot of fun going to those preseason, watching the Dolphins, sharing information. This is what we're doing now.
And we actually did see Cecil Collin bust a hell of a run.
Oh, yeah. He broke some guy's ankle.
Yeah.
It was incredible. You know, Cecil's still in jail.
I remember. No.
He's out?
I saw something that said after 13 years in jail, he was out.
I hope he's straightened out.
He's married,
life.
And
I hope he straightens out his life because I mean the kid had a trouble, you know, obviously.
Yep.
And I guess the biggest price people always talk about what he did to the Dolphin, what he did to himself was really the shame because what a talented young man.
Right.
So we had a lot of games that we actually went to see, right?
We have.
Okay. So, what's your favorite memory? I know. It's kind of bittersweet, isn't it?
Yes, it's our San Francisco trip.
Exactly, mine's too. That's
we. There had just been a circumstance where we hadn't seen each other in a long time,
mm-hmm.
And I was between marriages, and this girlfriend had given me tickets to the San Francisco game, and so
she wanted you out of town, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, she actually lived up there.
Oh, okay,
in Concord. Sorry. So
I don't remember seeing her.
Yeah, it wasn't a long relationship.
So kind of did you guys break up before?
Yes.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
That was hysterical. So yeah. We go up there on this trip. This girl gives you tickets. You never see her. You somehow kept the tickets, which I'm very proud of you.
What should I have done? Send them back?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is on that, but I'm glad you kept them. I couldn't care less. You know, it was great. But also you pulled a fast one and you called a certain reporter down in Miami.
I emailed him.
You emailed him? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So the funny story about Armando is that I always talk about, well, Armando got my job. I don't know if it really happened, if it was the synced up year or whatever, but when I graduated from college, I had degrees in English and computer science. And though I was pursuing the computer science side because that seemed a better way to make money, I had this love for the Dolphins. And so on a whim, I applied for an opening that I saw for the Herald. And I think it was I don't remember whether it specified it was just a sports beat writer.
It was coming down between you and Armando Saguirre.
Well, I never got interviewed or anything okay. for it. But, you know, it wasn't too long after that that the internet was becoming more of a thing and you could start reading articles online. And Armando was this young writer and I liked his writing right away. He found a way to put sarcastic.
He was very
sarcastic.
He still is very
articles.
Sarcastic.
Yes, yes. And so I appreciated the quality of his writing. It wasn't. It was a little more than your standard reporting, you know. And I appreciated that. So it's a joke when I say he got my job. But yeah. But I had emailed him once or twice to say hey man, I enjoy the sarcasm and how you go a little beyond just reporting on the sports and. Just wanted to let you know. And, there was a time where he emailed me back and said, I'm forwarding this email to my bosses so I can maybe make a little more money at it, that type of thing. But I emailed him again at this point to ask him a question. And that was, hey, do you know where the Dolphins are staying when they come out to San Francisco? And he replied and said, yeah, they're staying at the Airport Marriott, I believe it was, right? So we made our reservations at the Airport Marriott so that we could stay in for our long weekend at the same hotel that the Dolphins were staying in, hopefully meet some players. And we did.
We met a shitload of players. What was really great about that is that we were able to walk in to the lobby and they would be hanging out. Mm-hmm. And we would recognize some we didn't know who the hell they were.
Yeah, we met Rob Conrad.
Yeah, Conrad was super cool. I mean, the best memory of guys that we met was Wanstead and how great he was and taking pictures with us. He was very humble, really great experience. So we were off. And then San Francisco, for anybody who's never been to San Francisco, Scott, it's one of my favorite cities. It's every time Monica and I cannot make it to Europe, we think of San Francisco as our European escape. I literally go every year. It's a great town known for its great restaurants.
Yes, yes.
And you found this great Italian place, and we had a great meal. I mean, the weekend was rocking up until the game.
And we went to the pier and ate at a great seafood restaurant down there.
Yeah, you remember we decided to tailgate. We always do this, Scott and I, when we go to games. You and I always decide,
it's a tradition.
Yeah, we got a tailgate, right?
Right.
And, you know, in Arizona, we had those pork chops that we cooked. Mm-hmm. And
only thing I remember about that game, we won it, and we had pork chops.
And you ran out of gas. Scott's one job. I brought the pork chops. I marinated them Cuban style. Anyone who doesn't, that's in Cuban style.
I brought the grill and a little gas canister.
Yeah.
And the gas
with
canister
no gas.
Lasted about 5 minutes.
With no gas.
Yep.
And I brought these pork chops, you know, and packed in ice and marinated with all the garlic and the lime. The thing, everybody was going crazy. We had to cook it in the guy next door's grill, which was incredible. But you see, that was really a lot of fun. But San Francisco, getting back to that game, Wanstead, Jay Fielder, our quarterback, and there we are, finally, you know, getting to the game, and we said, let's tailgate. And we went and bought, you know what, some carne asada, and try to like do some tacos, nothing out of this world. And I think it ran like $100-some. Remember that, Scott?
Yeah, this was in 2001.
Yeah.
Right? December of 2001.
I mean, we both looked at each other and said,
how could a six pack of beer and ingredients for carne asada tacos cost $100?
Yeah, we were both, I mean, we're not like a couple of, you know, cheap ass guys. I mean, we go out there and spend the money, especially for food. You and I will spend anything to get a good meal. We haven't missed many, but the fact is,
we're not fat, but we're not exactly fit these days.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah, I'm not exactly fat, but you know, with the old guys, the metabolism slowing down, it just happens. But so now we get to this game in San Francisco. This is the old Candlestick Park, where, you know,
that's right.
Legendary. And we go to this game, we sit down, and this disaster starts. And I mean, this
we were 9-4 at the time.
Yeah, but we walked into.
We had expectations.
This was a hornet's nest. I mean, it was San Francisco abusing us, and we did not get anything going.
Yeah. It was 14-0 before we knew it. And we were sitting in the wrong seats.
We were in the wrong seat, and then they kick us out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, oh, okay. Well, it can't get any worse, right?
Wrong.
Wrong. Big time wrong. And we changed our seats. We sit down, and there's this little 4'8" Asian lady geared up in San Francisco gear sitting in front of us and talking smack the entire game.
Yep. I think she turned around and looked at us when we first sat down.
Yeah,
and then didn't need to turn around the rest of the time.
Yeah,
she
saw
constant smack.
Man, when she saw us, and she just made it very loud. And apparently the night, I don't know if you can look it up, Scott. I think the game right before, they shut out Buffalo, right?
It was their home game before.
Yeah, and they shut Buffalo out.
Yep.
Okay. And she would say in the highest squeaking voice, she would say, let's do them like Buffalo. And she would scream it loud. And then she would start this thing about fumble, fumble. And we would fumble.
It's going to be a fumble.
Interception. And boy, we would
throw the interception.
And we would get it. And it would be like, and she would turn around and laugh at us. And there's nothing we could do. I mean, we were these two big guys. This little lady.
Two big guys decked out in Dolphins gear. And a tiny little old
jeez.
Asian lady. And we're completely surrounded in a sea of red. No other Dolphins fans probably within the immediate area.
And they were cracking up laughing.
Yep.
The fans were like, this is hysterical. We're like, this is nightmare. And so the whole trip,
all we could do was sit there and bite our lip and just take it. right?
I have never, in all my years of watching so many Dolphin games and listening, I mean, we
normally we dish abuse right back, but there was nothing to abuse back because
we couldn't even cheer. I don't remember cheering.
The offense was the worst maybe I've ever seen. We could do nothing.
I mean, it was we got shut out. Mm-hmm. And that year, Scott,
2 weeks before, they shut out Buffalo 35-0.
There you go.
Nothing.
Thank you. And we were 28-0, right?
Final score 21-0.
I guess they scored a touchdown. I maybe they forgot about it. Okay, 21-0. It was 28-0.
And we had routed Indianapolis the week before, 41-6.
And what was the score in the Miami Jet game that year?
Yeah, the one you went to later on in the year.
What was the score? 28-0, right?
Right.
What was it? Was it 28-0?
It was a donut. Yep.
But was it 28-0?
I'm pretty sure. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, so another guy that we met there was Jay Fielder's dad. I met him at the game. It was super sweet.
Well,
so
you met him at the hotel, and I don't remember why you were on your own. Maybe I was just hanging out in the room or something, or you went to get some beer.
You were probably at the bar drinking, and I was trying to run around trying to meet more Dolphins.
You met him in the elevator.
I met him in the elevator. We had a great conversation, and now the game ends, and I flew to Miami. I took my son for the game, and it was a weird weekend because we had watched the Hurricanes just trash Syracuse 58-0. And I said, wow, this is great. Now I want to go and see the Dolphins. Our loving, Dolphins are going to come.
I still have echoes of the Chinese lady in my head.
Oh, no, forget it.
Send them swimming back to Miami.
That's just the smack that she was saying to us. Send them swimming. Make a dude like Buffalo. And we were like, what do you say to that? You know, we do them like Buffalo.
You gotta put yourself in our position and imagine this. She had like one of those shrieky, penetrating voices.
Yeah,
I don't
even like to do it.
Like the back of the hairs in the back of your neck stand up when she's just yelling like that to begin with. It doesn't even matter what she's saying, but add to the smack and the fact that we're getting a beat down. Holy cow.
And that it was relentless. It was every single play. And then when it would happen, when she predicted it, which of course wasn't hard to predict because we were, she would go, let's sack them. And we would get sacked.
There'd be a sack. Yeah.
And we were sitting there going, oh, this is unreal. And she would just stand up and cheer with the biggest enthusiasm you've ever seen.
And that penetrating voice.
And that voice. And we were screwed.
Rattling around in the back of my skull for the last 20 years.
But on a positive note, look, this is kind of an interesting story. So now I met Jay Fielder's dad, super nice guy. We talked and, whatever. He's a football guy. I believe he was a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And
so back in Miami.
So now I'm back in Miami with my son and the donut, and we put a donut, and I'm pissed as hell.
At least you got to see a Canes win.
Yeah, the Canes dominated the day before. We were sky high. It was great, 58-0. That same year, Scott, you and I went to see them win the national championship.
That's right. We went to the Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl. So, I mean, we it was a great year, Kane-wise, but our Dolphins, oh, boy. So now the game ends, and I'm walking out pretty pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, it's Jets. They're the hated, most disgusting team in the history of mankind. And we just laid a donut to them, and this is my second donut. So I'm thinking to myself,
the same year,
I'm thinking, man, is it me? Oh, my God. You know, a sports fan, we start coming up with all these crazy thoughts. And I'm walking out of my son's.
You didn't know I'd packed that John Avery hat in your luggage.
Yeah, well, that was the worst luck hat I've ever seen in my life.
The bit of the story I forgot to tell about
every
that
time you had
preseason
that,
week.
Every time you had that freaking hat, we lost.
Yep.
But so then I'm walking out, and who do I run into? Jay Fielder's dad. And he goes, hey, good to see you again. And I said, oh, how are you, Mr. Fielder? You know, tough game. He goes, yeah, sure is. Oh, that's your boy. I go, yeah, my son. I may introduce himself. And he goes, hold on, I'm going to do something for him. Don't move. Come back with me. And we go to this waiting area. He goes back and gets cards and all bunch of stuff signed by Jay.
That's awesome.
And the worst part is I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I really want them because I'm so pissed.
Yeah.
But I saw my son. He was super happy. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's a cool thing. And so anyway, that was like, the only cool thing that happened from those two nightmares, football-wise, but we had a blast. You know,
we had a blast in San Francisco. Every single aspect of that weekend that we spent together,
except the game,
was fun and
except the freaking game,
which was just the very polar opposite.
And we had that garlic ice cream, which I talked you into. And Scott was going, I'm not having garlic ice cream. I go, oh, yes, you are. Because this is part of the experience. We drove. There's an area in California.
Gilroy.
Yep. Is the garlic capital of the world, is what they claim to be.
Yeah. If you're just driving in the area.
You smell it.
Yeah. Even if your windows are rolled up, it's all you smell is garlic.
And me, I grew up with garlic. My dad.
We both love garlic. I cook it. My dad
used to have a saying when we were kids, and people talked about bad breath. He used to say, "In Cuba, we ate garlic all the time, and no one had bad breath." And he go, "Garlic does not create bad breath. Not washing your teeth creates bad breath." I'll be, yeah, you know,
there
dad.
You go.
I was like, "Dad, you're a genius." Because I swear, garlic to me, I don't find it offensive at all. And so in Gilroy, I was in heaven. I'm like, oh boy, this is awesome. We had garlic ice cream, and it actually was darn good. We kept coming up for miles later, but
it was served in
a little cup, right?
Those little plastic cups with a wooden spoon that you used to get in your elementary school lunch line.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the ice cream trucks.
Yeah, I remember I took the first bite and I went, oh my goodness, this is garlic ice cream.
And then the second one,
a second bite and I'm like, you know,
damn good.
It's kind of good. And then I ate the whole thing.
And they had two flavors, chocolate and vanilla, which, you know, it doesn't really matter because all garlic all the way anyway.
Yep. Of course, it's a 8 or 9 hour drive home, and for the rest of the time, we're burping up garlic and having a little bit of regret.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And with this podcast, I feel the same way. Funny enough, I feel like we're doing something that we both love, that we both are passionate about, that we both don't even have to get paid a penny. We just love it. We just do it, and we go out there and we give everything we got, and we can't lose. You can't lose if you have that attitude.
Well, one of the things I want everyone to understand about the podcast, too, is that you're not going to get a whole lot of sunshine blowing up your ass here. I think I've written it several times. We don't drink the Kool-Aid as part of our sort of thing. So we're going to tell it like we see it. When we don't believe in coaching, we're going to tell you we don't want to believe in coaching. When, you know, we think we're really weak in some area of the game, or, you know, some player's not living up to, you know, expectations or anything like that, we're gonna feed that to you. And
we're gonna joke about the colleague. What should we call it? Andy Cohenism or something like that.
Yeah, you know. We're talking about Dolphin Digest and
Andy Cohen,
the editor in chief. I don't know whether he still is or not. You know, I looked up Dolphin Digest to see if it was still around, and it looks like you can still subscribe to it.
Probably
and
digital.
And it's the same exact thing that it always was, a paper thing that shows up.
Now we're going to win the Super Bowl.
But that's the joke about it, right? So back when I subscribed to it in the early 90s, even before I moved out here, and then once I moved out here, I got it for Alex, and then it became sort of a tradition for a while for us to buy it for each other.
Yeah, to buy it for each other,
No, it was a great thing because...
It was awesome.
Yeah. You get these in-depth articles pre-post-game with pictures and stuff that weren't available
to you at the time. Where would you keep your copy?
Filing cabinet or corner of my bedroom, or you know what?
I hate to say this.
I had stacks of them.
I
couldn't throw them away.
I always kept them. I in my office, and I was the new one. I would always put it in the restroom, and I gotta say that was like to me, it was like tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh my god, it was great reading. It was fun reading. But it was Kool-Aid reading.
It definitely was because every player was a superstar, and every year we were going to the Super Bowl. And you know, if you wanted to listen to something that's going to get you all pumped up and not live in reality, then you know, I don't know. This is the place for sarcasm and straight shooting for the most part.
Yeah, and I'll go on record right now. I'm not a big Gase fan. As much as I want him to win, as much as I want the Dolphins to become again that what we were, a team of respectability, a team that challenges for a Super Bowl, contends every year for a Super Bowl.
Don Shula spoiled us. He was great.
He was awesome. He was the least penalized team. So, I mean, there's so many things that he did great. But I'm not a big Gase fan. I'm hoping this year He's going to prove me wrong, and he's going to change this boat around. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it as our podcast.
It seems like we're going in the wrong direction right now, the same way with Wonstadt, the same way with Sperano. A little bit of a strong start, and then, you know, the reality sets in and bad decisions are made. But I'm with you. No matter what I think of Ryan Tannehill as quarterback on Sunday, I'm rooting for him to be the best he can possibly be. And I want to see Gase grow, right?
Yeah.
I want to know that he's smart enough that this is his first head coaching run at it, right? And so hopefully he's learning on the job and he recognizes when he makes a mistake and corrects for it and grows and gets smarter and wiser and improves, and the team as a result improves from it. So I want him to do that.
We're going
to
track the whole year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yep. So, Scott, I think we're tailing out towards the end now, right?
Yeah, let's skip forward a few years and give our younger listeners a view of the most recent game that we went to. We did not go to a game last year. I think we were both kind of down on our fins, especially with the big Jake Cutler thing going on, and there was no local games to us, so I guess we could have paid it an ungodly amount of money to go see them, you know,
beat the Chargers,
right? But we only won because they missed a field goal. So
remember that kicker's name? Remember that kicker's name?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Young Ho.
Young Ho, that's right. There were a lot of jokes on radio around here. San Diego sports radio was very bitter about the Chargers leaving, and the word Spanos is now, you've been Spanosed, you know? That's some bad smelling Spanos, that type of thing. So.
Yeah, how the hell do you go through life with a name like Young Ho? I'm beyond that, but beyond me. But anyway, yeah, that was the kicker that saved us. And the year before, Kiko Alonso intercepted and took that ball in. And I was going to go to that game. I think you went to that game.
No, I didn't. We were both going to go to that game. We talked about and all season long.
We
were
super excited. Sick.
We have a new coach. The Dolphins, prior to the season starting, got an agreement from the NFL that they're allowed to stay here for the week. And they found an area to practice in. So they were going to come up before the Chargers game, play the Chargers game, and then spend the week in California and practice here.
Well, they had to come up before the Chargers game. But, you know, how else would they get here?
Of course. But, I mean, the point is they're going to – wise ass. They're going to stay the week in between because the following week –
I guess they could come the day of the game.
Right, because the following week is against the Rams. So why would you want to fly back and forth to the West Coast twice?
They stayed out here, right. And then they – they played the Rams, and so they won.
Our plan was to see both games,
but
to a practice if we were allowed to. Although those are usually closed practices.
I got super sick, and I think
so did I.
So did you.
Without even telling each other,
we were both like really. Yep. I mean, kind of like fever the whole nine yards. So I know my son went to the game, and he went nuts. Because,
I was texting with him during the game.
Yeah, of course, we all were, and it was a lot of fun just to watch the game, and I kept regretting that I didn't go.
Me
and
too.
And then the second week, we were
should
still
have nutted
up
and just gone, sick
yeah,
or not.
I don't know. I was pretty bad.
Yep.
For me to miss the Dolphins and here and everything. And then Kiko got that great interception and sealed the game for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just exciting. He did that little Maguire thing, whatever that's called, that little walk. It was just great. But then the next week we went to
we still hadn't ever purchased the tickets that in the preseason we said we were going to buy.
That's right.
So literally the day of that morning,
I went
online and scalped them and paid probably.
And
way
my
too
biggest
much
fear,
them,
my so. Biggest fear is that you were being scammed, but no, you guess you got it from a reliable source, obviously, because we got in the game, we paid.
Yeah, StubHub or something like that.
And so we get down there and we watch three quarters of terrible football, hell football.
Yeah, we got there late.
Yeah, and we paid parking was like $200 or some crazy thing.
So
that's what I remember.
Yeah, you got to know this about the Coliseum. Alex has a word for it, and it's
I call it the urinal.
Why is that, Alex?
Because it smells like a urinal,
and it looks like
but it smells like a urinal.
It's nasty. It stinks. It's run down.
Anywhere you and to make it worse, it had rain, which it never rains in Southern California, like the song said. Mm-hmm. It rained, so the urinal smelled
it,
like
it activated the smell rather than hiding it.
Yeah, and it looked like a urinal. It looked like people had just pissed all over the stadium everywhere. There was puddles, and I kept thinking it was actual urination that somebody urinated.
It started bad that we were late, and then got worse as we paid some insane amount of money to park.
Yeah, so we paid
across the street. Even
across the street, it was like a couple of, and then some. You know, it was a terrible parking where people are like parking in front of you, and you know, it was just one of those things. Then we get to this game; it's three quarters of pathetic football,
just sitting there being rained on,
pretty
miserable,
smelling the urine. I mean, it was.
Although we were completely surrounded by either Dolphins fans or Raiders fans, there were hardly any Rams fans.
Which was one of those erotic things I ever had in my. It was so strange. How could a place that has the Rams have more Dolphin fans and more Raider fans than Ram fans? It was really shocking.
Yeah, it was part of that whole West Coast takeover thing, right?
Yeah,
we did it again the following year in San Diego.
Yeah, no,
or in LA.
Following year was in LA in the soccer stadium.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, at the end, we did that comeback. We win the game. A couple of touchdowns at the very end, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, two fourth-quarter touchdowns. It was like the offense all of a sudden woke up, and Tannehill looked great, and he was hitting stills, and he was hitting Landry, and it was fun.
Well, I got to say,
it was a great win.
It was a great
win. We got really pumped up, even though I was still a little bit more sick than you at that point, and especially in the rain and misery. But, you know, just lifted our spirits. I think we had some really good Chinese food afterwards, too.
Yeah, we went to one of my favorite places.
So we turned on the radio, and we were listening to Big O's post-game show, and we were going to call him, and I don't think we ever did, but maybe we tried.
We had fun.
Wanted to tell him we were part of the takeover.
It was great. It's going to be a great year. We're going to have a lot of fun. And this has been fun, just reliving these memories with you and being able to look back and knowing that at the end of the day, you know, our Dolphins, win or lose, we're going to love them. We're going to stick by them. We talk a lot of crap all the time that we're never going to watch them again. I've thrown a lot of hats. Probably the one I got on right now, I probably up across the room and say, I'm done with these guys. Mm-hmm. But we're never going to do that. We're always going to stick by our Dolphins. We're going to love them till death. And that's the way we are. Here's one of my favorites. Since we started with the Dolphins and we're talking about, you know, interesting facts. So this segment is just going to have interesting statistics, facts about, usually it has to be about the Dolphins. So we're going to start way back. Mm-hmm. And the first play the Dolphins ever did, you know what it was?
It was a touchdown.
It was a kickoff return, right?
Right.
So now here's the Dolphins. They got the kickoff happens, first game, first play ever for a franchise. This gentleman named Joseph Auer, right?
Auer.
Okay. A-U-E-R gets this kickoff and returns it for a touchdown. Great start to the season. But that's not the interesting statistic. Do you know that he was a Miami native?
Nope.
That's the part that's really cool. He was born in Miami. Went to Coral Gables High, right where the University of Miami is. And this kid came back home to return a kickoff for a touchdown, the first play in the history of the franchise. So that's the interesting fact for today.
Hometown hero.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
That's a cool story that I was researching it. And when I got that fact, every true Dolphin fan knows about the touchdown. But how many really know that the kid was a native kid that got a chance to come home and do something like that?
That's pretty awesome.
Great story.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, Alex. I can't wait to keep doing this with you.
Been a blast, man.
All right. Alex and I would like to thank the band Tartanic for the use of their music. It's awesome. Looking at their calendar, I see that at the beginning of September, from September 1st through September 23rd, they're at the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. And following that, it looks like they're headed off to Texas for the Texas Renaissance Festival. So check them out if you get the chance. They're a lot of fun, and they're really good. Good night.
Good night!
We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.